In the 1990s, negotiations started between some equally bitter foes, Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland. The result was a power-sharing agreement. But this past weekend, two British soldiers were shot to death in Northern Ireland. Those killings mark the worst incident of sectarian violence in Northern Ireland in a decade. They were carried out by the group known as the Real IRA. It's an IRA splinter group. It's opposed to sharing power with Protestants. There was Laura Lynch reports.
Near the site of the shootings, people gathered to lament what seems like a return to darker times.
I just can't believe that it has actually happened again. The last couple of years, everything has been so quiet. And, like, I have children myself, and I, like, didn't want them growing up in the sort of things that I grew up in.
The two soldiers were hours away from flying out to Afghanistan for a tour of duty. They were gunned down at the gate of their base as they went to collect a pizza. The two delivery men and two other soldiers were wounded. Cards and flowers left near the barracks bear testament to a community that is growing used to living in peace.
Absolutely. 99.9% of the community was shocked to know that two soldiers doing their duty, getting ready to go to Afghanistan, which you would consider to be more dangerous than here, is gunned down in cold blood, and boys standing over the top of them punting bullets into it. So inhuman, you couldn't do it to a dog.
Now comes the struggle to decipher why the attack happened and what it means for the future. Just last week, the police warned the threat of a violent attack had spiked, and a report by an independent commission last November called the Real IRA an active and dangerous group capable of extreme violence. Kevin Toulis has studied and written extensively about terrorism and the IRA. He sees the attack as a call to arms.
I think this is more of a, what I would call a bloody annunciation. The way that Irish Republican terrorist organizations work is that they want to announce their presence into the world.
At the same time, though, Toulis says their numbers are tiny. Others peg it at no more than a couple of hundred people. Their growing isolation, Toulis believes, only serves to fuel their determination to hit high-profile targets.
The symbolism of attacking a British Army base on Irish soil, as the dissidents would see it, is clearly potent. But in a way, they're sort of trying to get their act together. I mean, all the thwarted operations, all the failed operations, clearly are proof that they've been infiltrated by the security forces, that they're unable to really mount a successful operation. So in their eyes, this is an opening chapter in what they hope will be a new cycle of violence within Northern Ireland.
Based on today's reactions, there seems little chance of that happening. British troops will maintain their low-profile presence and won't be sent out to patrol the streets. Across the board, political and religious leaders condemned the killings and vowed to keep the peace process on track. One of the first to speak out was Government Minister Martin McGuinness, himself a former commander in the IRA. He denounced any attempt to restart what he calls a war.
I deny their right to do that. I will stand with all Democrats against their attempts to plunge us back into conflict, to see soldiers on the streets, to see more checkpoints on the road, to see houses being raided, to see people being dragged back to interrogation centres. Those days are over. They can never come back again.
Outside the barracks, one man recalled those difficult years. They call them the Troubles. He says they cannot be allowed to return.
There's an awful ingrained in bitterness in that 1% of the community. But the vast majority of people want peace, want to live with their neighbour and work with their neighbour and be friends with their neighbours. So sad.
For the world, I'm Laura Lynch.